You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to chat about the upcoming Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music taking place in Seward, Nebraska this summer. And we're going to dig into some of the details, some of the things you'll learn, and maybe some of the fun stuff you get to do while you're there. Well, learning is fun, too.
Learning is fun.
There are also networking fellowship activities as well.
The other fun stuff. Those
additional fun things. We're going to chat about those in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Cantor Christina Roberts. She serves at Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Christina, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also joining us in studio, the Reverend Sean Denzer. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain for the LCMS International Center. Chaplain Denzer, welcome back.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
We are preparing for the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music coming up this summer in Seward, Nebraska, taking place on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. Why a conference on liturgy, preaching, and church music? We'll start with you, Cantor Roberts.
This conference has been part of our church's history now for the last couple decades, but it's about hiatus for various reasons. But it combines what we could probably just call worship. Instead, we've given it a very long name, the Institute on Liturgy and Preaching and Church Music. But it's all the things that are the most important things to our church workers and our church members. It's where Christ comes to us on Sunday morning. And so we're having this conference to explore all of those aspects with liturgy and the preaching and the church music so that we can be informed about what we're doing and do it well and do it together.
Do you have any more to add to that?
Trying to wrestle with this long name that we've inherited. Why is liturgy first and why is church music last? These are the questions I sometimes ask myself. I think liturgy is first because it brings them all together. And like you said, that's what we really want to have is we want the balcony and we want the chancel singing in harmony. And the pews are in between, not left out of it, but very lively in our church. This event is always enjoyable because the people who are usually in the balcony or the chancel get to be in the pews for once, which they love, and they raise the roof. They get to sing as some of the best congregants you've ever heard. It's a little bit of a fake congregation for a couple of reasons. They're great singers and great Christians too. But I love the idea that we're getting pastors and church musicians together and that they're building on one another, because that's really one of my goals, is to see that our pastors and our church musicians and our whole congregations are confessing and singing and preaching entirely together, and that the whole church is participating in, what we kind of mundanely call worship.
Yeah, I imagine the singing is going to be pretty epic at this whole conference.
That's the hope. That's the aim.
We're planning for it.
Oh, yeah.
I expect nothing less from this group of people. So this year's theme is Songs of Deliverance, Psalms in the Great Congregation. What is this focus? What is this theme about?
The Psalter's the OG hymnal, okay? And as Lutherans, maybe it's not the one that we always go to. I mean, we're kind of known for bringing hymns back with Luther and bringing them to the people. And the Psalms seems like, oh, that's a Calvinist thing or someone else. But of course, if you know anything about Luther's first hymns, they were Psalms put into paraphrase. And Luther himself, I always think this is so unfair, he reaped all the benefits of praying the Psalms as a monk and as a priest. And then afterwards, he's like, well, you know, we don't have to do all these daily offices anymore, now that he got all the benefit from it. So it's always the place we go back to when we ask, what is singing praise to the Lord? What does it mean to confess his name in word and in song? So I think it's a logical place to reorient us, bring us back to something that's in common for everybody, the word of God itself, but the word of God dwelling richly in song as the Psalms do.
Cantor, anything to add to that?
I was just in a conversation with a woman this weekend from a neighboring Lutheran congregation, and we were actually attending a session by someone who's going to be presenting at the Institute, Reverend Chris Nettleman, on the Psalms. And he was bemoaning the fact that in their worship at their congregation, they rarely get the chance to sing Psalms. Sometimes they speak them, but that it's a language that is lost to her and lost to her children. And she has really practical questions about how do we get back the use of these psalms, both in our worship services and in our family lives. And I think it's really good for us then to acknowledge the fact that maybe we have let them drift from our youth, and then intentionally look at how we can put them back into the lips and the hearts and the language of our people.
What questions will be answered, if any, at the Institute this summer? Christina?
We hope they will answer both how to sing the Psalms and why to sing the Psalms, and what benefit they are to us as Christ's people and his congregation. The how is one of the things I'm most looking forward to. There are copious ways to sing Psalms. And we are hoping and planning to have many, many of these different methods of singing the Psalms not only talked about, but actually done together. So we'll be singing Psalms the way that we Lutherans are really good singing them, with 8 different notes, but we'll also be singing them in all sorts of different styles that have been sung through centuries of Christendom, and exploring the different ways that the ways of singing the Psalms bring the text to life and to youth among us. So that's one of the big questions, the how.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add?
For the why, I think we need it, because if I can blame the pastors, maybe, I think the Psalms are the first things we cut from the church. So maybe that's what you were telling, relating in that story. You know, they're short, they stick in between things. You know, you never cut the gospel reading out good, but for some reason, the intro, that psalm of the day, these things get, you know, those are left on the cutting room floor if you're trying to shave a couple minutes off the service. And that's a real shame, because you cut out the most important book, I think, in the whole scriptures for worship. It's the part that is never absent from any of our services, whether it's a daily office service, whether it's a divine service. There's some kind of psalms, and I don't think it's actually trying to downplay them by having them in between everything. It's saying this is the glue that holds it all together. This is the Bible's own, God's own, the Holy Spirit's own worship songs. These are written to be sung, even if we don't have the tunes that they were sung to by David on his Psalter of 10 strings. But we're going to, as Christina said, explore so many amazing ways to sing them and to look toward the practical. One of the things that we're doing is we are going to make a concerted effort to sing and to pray all 150 Psalms. Now, maybe not all of us doing all 150, but between all of us who are gathered together, we will pray all 150 Psalms in the course of really just 4 days. And that includes Psalm 119, by the way.
That was my burning question.
Oh, yeah.
Ambitious.
Will say, we have field tested this. Maybe I shouldn't say this, so that if it failed, we couldn't say, well, we did it once. But the children at our school about a year ago participated in a Psalm 119 sing-along. Pastor Denzer was up for the weekend, and we got all of our children together, and we sang through all 100 and 176. No, I should have looked this up, or 178, which is it? Verses, whatever. We did the whole thing. We figured it out. If, you know, 50 children, kindergarten through eighth grade, can do this, an entire conference of pastors and church workers can do it too. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. That's going to be really, really fun to sing all of the Psalms in a matter of 4 days. And Sean, you said something that we've been talking with the keynote speakers, and so the Psalms have been more in my brain, just thinking about them from a different, just analyzing them in a different way than I normally do. And what you said about them being in every worship service, that was something that I had just realized all of a sudden, like, well, obviously they're in every service that we do regardless.
And I think that's fine. I mean, you know, we're Lutherans. We want faith to be done. We're never just doing something because it's what we've always done. We're mm-hmm. never just doing something because we got to pass the time. And so we always want to kind of have our faith and our mind and our joy engaged in what we're doing. And I think events like this help our practitioners, our leaders of this song and leaders of the prayer life of our church, find new and invigorating ways to do that and to help their congregations engage, not just be present during the service. But these are admittedly the parts where we're kind of passing time, maybe. These are the parts where we're filling even the gaps with holy words from Christ. And so we probably don't give them the attention that we ought to. And that's all right on a day-to-day service. But I think by digging seriously into them, will especially maybe appreciate their small but powerful place in between the major events like readings and hymns. But we might also realize that they're more significant than we think. And I love what Cantor Roberts said about connecting the home into this. Mm. Nothing could be more important right now for our church body. Think about the whole triennial mission emphasis of making disciples for life. Obviously, we're interested in not just on Sunday morning, but out into the homes. And even though obviously a group of worship leaders like pastors and church musicians are going to be talking about Sunday morning an awful lot, there is so much in the Psalter in particular that goes right into the devotional life of our Christians. And I'm just so excited to see how those worlds collide, not accidentally, but intentionally now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of the keynotes, what are we going to learn in these keynote sessions? Who are the speakers? What are some of their topics?
Our first keynote is actually a two-session keynote by Dr. Charles Brown from Concordia University Chicago. And he's going to help us unpack all of the different ways that we can sing the Psalms so that then we're equipped to do that throughout the rest of the week as we learn what the Psalms are about.
Different, right? To start with the experience, but I think that's part of our interest is very experiential. And maybe that's something different about this conference is the Psalms. How do you develop a love for the Psalter? It's by praying it. It's by singing it. I'm firmly convinced of this. And I think everybody who comes to the conference is going to also be convinced of it by the end. That's why we've chosen to start with the Psalms in motion, in song, so nobody can be confused that they're a dusty old prayer book in the middle somewhere. Once you've loved them, now we're going to enable everybody to dig into them on their own personal time as well. So our second presenter and the third keynote is going to be Dr. Adam Hensley, recently come to the United States from Australia. He's a professor here at the St. Louis Seminary, and he is a wise and a very engaging speaker with special interest in kind of the layout of the Psalter, which I have to admit is not something I have thought about much. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to have him help us know how to dig into the Psalms. Look, you got to have a certain amount of know-how to understand them, to know where Bashan ever is. We keep singing about that. So he's going to help give us the basics we need to maybe pronounce a few things, but to not be afraid of the Psalms and to find out that Christ is actually all the place in the Psalter.
Anything you want to add to that, Christine?
And then Dr. Boyle will be our concluding keynote speaker.
Well, we got to talk with Pastor Boyle in a previous episode as well and learned from him a little bit about his perspective on the Psalms and why the Psalms are so important in our daily lives as well.
Yeah,
it was a great chat. We'll talk about the sessions in just a little bit as well. In addition to the keynotes, we'll talk about some of the sessions, what we'll learn in those, maybe some of the ways that we'll get back to the, not just the why, but also the how, taking it back home into the parish as well. We'll continue the conversation about the upcoming Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music taking place July 9th through the 12th at Concordia University, Nebraska, in Seward, Nebraska, this summer. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're learning about opportunities to learn, ways we get to learn about the Psalms, the Psalter, and how they're important in the life of the congregation, and some practical ways is what we're going to get into on how to sing the Psalter, how to sing the Psalms in your congregation, in your home as well. Our guest today, the Reverend Sean Denzer, Director of Worship and Chaplain for the LCMS International Center, and Cantor Christina Roberts of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music taking place July 9th through 12th at Concordia University, Nebraska. So we talked a little bit about the plenary sessions. Let's talk about what happens in, or the keynote sessions, excuse me. Let's talk about what happens in the sessions, maybe a little more practical things that are going on. What are some of the sessions, the highlights for you, Christina, that you're looking forward to in some of the sessions taking place at the Institute?
I'm just excited about how many different kinds of sessions we have. We have sessions that are, you know, essentially like vocal lessons that people can take, to, like pastors can take to improve their chanting skills. We have sessions that are designed for, you know, organists who are just beginning and need to get their feet on the pedals and figure out how to do that. And then we have sessions that are, you know, drawn more for people who would like to know, like, the history of the original Lutheran hymnals or how Bach used the Psalms. So we're spanning everything from really practical to more like historical, deep understandings of topics, and bringing in some new voices and new names that may not be familiar to most of our church body, and trying to highlight some different things that, instead of just always coming back to the same ways of doing things, listening to some new outside voices and seeing what we can glean from them. We have a session by David Erb, who is well known for singing the Psalter and within his own faith tradition. And so learning from him ways that the voice of the scripture can be given into our church body today will be very interesting. I mentioned Pastor Nettleman. I have heard his session now twice that he has done in our circuit, and just expounding on how the imagery in the Psalter is something that should shape the way that we look at our entire lives. So I think everything from really practical, how are you going to get through a Sunday morning, to a new church musician, to exploring the deeper theology and music theory behind lots of what's going on.
I think we're bringing some outside people as well as a lot of familiar faces, and maybe faces that aren't as well known in our LCMS circles, but they're among us, and we'd like to lift them up so that the next generation comes as well. And so that I would say just as important as the sessions is also the opportunity for church workers, by which we really do mean pastors as well as church musicians and teachers and lay leaders, have a chance to get to know each other so that all of those fruitful relationships of iron sharpening iron and can happen all over our church body. So one couple I'm really excited to have, we have Kyle and Jackie Smith coming out of Pennsylvania. They're new to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So in a sense, this is a great opportunity for them to get to know fellow LCMS church musicians. On the other hand, Jackie brings a whole lifetime worth of fantastic church music in her background. Kyle Smith is a 3-time Grammy-nominated composer, so maybe a name that we should know but might not have because we've had our heads fixed here in the Missouri Synod. So I think we all have something great to benefit from one another. Likewise, you know, think of the people we've lost in the last 7 years since we held this. We don't have Carl Schalk anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have Susan Cherwin anymore. These are names that are well known to our church musicians in particular. And of course, there are plenty of pastors like Norman Nagel that we've also lost. But that is not a cause for despair. I mean, the church is not dying. And I'm so glad that we're going to have some of these younger generations of church musicians, including the ones that are well known, names like Kevin Hildebrandt, Ken Koshy, maybe on the older end, that we get to see all of these guys here, because our hope is that you, whoever you are who's attending, even if you think you're a very minor musician or pastor in our church, I want you to know that we are all together in Christ Church. We're all together fellow Lutherans. This is your chance to make Kevin Hildebrandt your friend and your colleague. I mean that, okay? He'll be fine with it too. So will Paul Grimm. So will Phil Magnus. So will Peter Reske. So this is your chance to claim these guys, these leaders in our church, as your peers, as well as to learn from them and get to know them.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm very excited about one other event I really want to highlight, and that is we're going to have a recital of some of our upcoming church musicians coming out of our Concordias. In fact, we have a few pre-seminary students as well who've found their way onto the bench for piano and for organ, as well as some other instruments. And they're going to have a recital that will show us, I think, how actually quite strong our programs raising up future church musicians are at our Concordia University colleges. So definitely not going to want to miss that either and see that the future is quite bright.
What I'm hearing you say is that if you're excited at any level about church music, this is totally the conference for you.
Absolutely.
Yes. Fabulous. And in order to get to know each other, to build this community, of course, there's going to be fun outside of just sitting in sessions, as we mentioned earlier. Christina, can you tell us what fellowship and festivities and all those other fun things are going to be?
One of the great organists that we have in our LCMS midst is Benjamin Colosi. And his hobby is that he plays theater organ for silent movies. And so he has agreed to do this for us in the historic Rivoli Theater downtown in Seward. And popcorn and drinks are provided. And you get to watch the silent movie accompanied by Benjamin Colosi in person right there doing all of the sound effects and telling the story with his music. And so that one night, everyone will have the opportunity to do that. And the other night, we have the chance to go to Bach at the Brewery. So the good people at Bach for Church, sorry, got that wrong, are putting together a whole collection of Bach chorales. And we are going to gather at the brewery with whatever happens to be available there and sing together these wonderful Bach chorale settings and just enjoy the process of singing together and imbibing in song and ale.
Both of those sound worth the film with Benjamin Colosi.
We love Benjamin.
And Bach at the Brewery. Both sound like fantastic events. Those alone would be worth making a trip to.
Absolutely.
To Seward, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, obviously learning the Psalter is great too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's all great.
What do we need to know, Chaplain, about registration, like getting there? Are there places to sleep, food to eat, things like that?
As of right now, there's still room.
Okay.
Our early bird registration is just closed and we have great numbers, but there's definitely still room. So we have opportunities to stay on campus in traditional dormitory housing. There are certainly more hotels in the Lincoln and Omaha area for those who are commuting by car or able to drive. And everything you need in order to register and find out about it and explore all the other events that are going on connected with the Institute, you can find at lcms.org/worship-institute. It'll get you right there and you'll be able to find all that you need.
And we'll put that link in the show notes too, so people can find that even easier. All of those details right on that page. Christina, as we're wrapping up, how is a conference like this really helpful to you as parish cantor?
Like, so rudely interrupting Pastor Denzer with before was this experience that he described of, you know, making Phil Magnus and Kevin Hildebrand your friend is actually a real thing. And it is what happened when I was a baby cantor back in 2002, going to my very first institute, was meeting these people who I looked up to and who have become mentors and friends along the way, who now, if I need anything, I can drop an email or a phone call. And then the same is true with people that I've met as I've become one of the older cantors now, that those people are coming along, and that building of the camaraderie and the working together in the church, even when we're not physically together, is fueled by being able to be physically together for this conference, lifting our voices, not only in worship, but around Bach and beer and having these conversations that encourage one another and reinvigorate our desire to do this for the church, to give us new ideas, to remember the ideas that maybe we once gave to other people, and just the joy of being together and knowing that while our song is always carrying on together in the church and we can't always hear and see it together, but for this little moment where we can, that goes a long way to carry us through until the next time when we can be all together.
You can learn more about the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music taking place July 9th through the 12th at Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting lcms.org/worship-institute. Our guest today, Christina Roberts, cantor at Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. And the Reverend Sean Denzer, chaplain and director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.